This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 13, 2020. The Third Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
There is a man sent from God.
Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
This, of course, refers to John the Baptist, that there was a man sent from God. I always emphasize, maybe to some people's consider ad nauseum around here, that when we read the scriptures, we are not reading history lessons. We have something from the Holy Spirit that is for us. And in the day of John, there was a man sent from God to point to our Lord Jesus Christ. When we read these passages, we have to understand that in our day, we are the ones who are sent to proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we read about John, it informs our mission in this world. No matter what your vocation may be, the mandate of Christ to be a light in this world, because that's what John was. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's us. John's ministry, I mean, it cannot be underestimated or, John the Baptist was before Jesus. Now let's pay attention to Jesus. His mission was so important that, for instance, every one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when it begins to speak of our Lord Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry, starts out with the mission of John the Baptist. Every single one of them. St. Peter and St. Paul, both in the book of Acts, give different discourses, and both of them refer in their discourses to the ministry of John the Baptist. St. John the Divine, the writer of this gospel. This gospel speaks of John at least seven times. And a little footnote on this whole thing, the writer of this gospel, St. John, the one whom is referred to and the only apostle referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved, was a disciple of John the Baptist. He was one of John's disciples, and John pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the rest is history in his life. Our mission in this world is to do just what St. John the Baptist did. We are called to be as he was. Our setting is the same as his. When we look at the situation in which John finds himself, the gospel reading today, it is a setting of intense expectation. Intense expectation because the scriptures pointed to that time in history as when the Messiah was going to come. It was obvious. It was so obvious that the religious leaders of the day, when they see people not paying so much attention to them as Pharisees and Levites and paying attention to John, it kind of pricked within them this idea of, might this be the Messiah? Because they knew that the scripture said that around that time, the Messiah was supposed to come. And they were expecting him intensely. And they send people out to ask. And he said, hey, why don't a couple of you guys go out and listen to what this St. John guy has to say and bring us back some word and we'll decide whether. These people that they send are the religious authorities of their day. They are people who are well-versed in theology and well-versed in the prophecies of Scripture, and they are sent by the Pharisees to interrogate John. They show up, and John, the first question, I guess they get direct to the point, are you the Christ? John emphasizes, he confessed three times, I am not the Christ. He looks at them and says, make no mistake, I am not the Christ. So are you Elijah? Now, when they ask that question, they are thinking in very myopic first century Jewish terms, because they expect Elijah to have, who was taken up into heaven, to come back bodily. And they ask him, are you Elijah? And John says, no. It's kind of interesting, though, that later on in the gospel, Jesus says, yes. Oh, there's a contradiction in scripture. No, there's not. John answered the question that they were asking. Are you Elijah incarnate for all intent and purposes? No, I'm not Elijah. I'm John the Baptist. But when Jesus answers the question, Jesus parses out the answer to the question. He speaks of John as Elijah in spirit and witness. We're all supposed to have, in this day and age, the spirit of John the Baptist. We're supposed to act like he did, say what he said. This is where the application occurs for us. It's kind of a little side note on this. The way John answers, and he's being absolutely good because he's got first century Jewish mindset. Are you Elijah? He knows what they mean. No, I'm not Elijah. Jesus understands more. It's kind of interesting. Jesus understands more about John the Baptist than John the Baptist does. We need to apply that to our own lives. It is not what we think or what we know about ourselves and our relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to let him be the determining factor on this. I'm sure there's a lot of people that get up to heaven and, you know, I went to daily mass and I said novenas and rosaries and everything. You know, didn't I do a great job? Jesus, meh. Yeah, you did pretty good. All right. And there's other people who think, you know I didn't do that much for the Lord down there. And so, as a matter of fact, you actually did speak to someone that was errant and they kind of gaffed you off when you said it. But then they lived their life a little bit and had some downturns and they thought about what you said and they did some investigating and they came to Christ. And you didn't even know it. And the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who came to repentance because of something that you said and you didn't even know it. We have to appreciate what John says and the way he answers this. We don't know. We do not know how good or how bad of a job we're doing down here. Well, actually, we do know if we're doing a bad job. But we can never think of ourselves any more higher than we ought. If we think of ourselves as kind of on the bottom of the rungs, there's no way to go but up. This is what we need to understand about John's perception of himself. It's not a contradiction. He was not Elijah incarnate, but even before he was formed in his mother's womb, when the angel Gabriel appears to the priest Zachary in the temple, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the precursor, so many words. He's going to set paths straight for the Lord. And what did he explicitly say? And he will have the spirit of Elijah. Zachariah heard those words from the angel. Okay, so that has always been there. But again, John answers in the way they ask the question. Then they ask him another question. Are you the prophet? Again, very first century Jewish mindset. And they're referring to Deuteronomy chapter 18 that speaks of a prophet being raised up from the people who is greater than Moses. John said, no, I'm not the prophet. The prophet. Definite article. I'm not the prophet. And it's kind of interesting that, again, as scripture goes on, Jesus says, you went out to see a prophet, speaking of John. I say, yes, but more than a prophet. Contradiction again? No. John's answering it, the Deuteronomy 18 thing. No, I am not the one who is, as a person, going to do greater works than Moses did. Because who was that talking about? Jesus Christ. It was talking about the Messiah. And John had already said, I'm not him. And he said, no, I'm not the prophet. But then again, Jesus says, yes, but more than a prophet. Because what do prophets do? What is the job of a prophet? To point forward to things, to foretell things, events, people that are coming. John the Baptist didn't do that. John the Baptist was the final prophet because all the other prophets pointed forward and foretold the coming of our Messiah, who is Jesus of Nazareth. John the Baptist didn't foretell anything. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't prophesy anything. He just said, there he is. So he was the culmination of prophets. Hence our Lord's answer that he is more than a prophet. When we understand his situation, his scenario, we have to understand our own. I started out, I said, it was a time of intense expectation of the coming of the Savior. And he did come, and we know who he is, and we know what he did for us. Well, I guess the days of intense expectation are over. No, they're not. We're still living in days of intense expectation. It's not for the coming of the Savior. It's for the coming of the Judge. This is where we come into play. This is where we take on the spirit of John the Baptist, just like he took on the spirit of Elijah, and confront people with the fact, because John wasn't, as I just said, he wasn't a prophet per se. That's part of our mission. And it's not a suggestion. It is called the Great Commission. It is what the church is supposed to be. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Jesus gives us marching orders to proceed in the Spirit and with the mission of John the Baptist, just like John the Baptist had the Spirit and mission of Elijah. We also have that additional, whereas John wasn't a prophet, we are. We do just like he did. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that cometh to take away the sin of the world. We point people to him who don't know him as Savior. We know who he is. We can point to him. We can point to what he did. That's part of our job. But it's also for us prophetic. We also point forward to his coming again as Judge. And this is where we have to be bold. We have to be bold because we live in a world where it's not only the pagans and the heathens out there. Well, that's who they're talking about, that don't know God. In our own church, the words that are said in that gospel, John shares with the, these are the religious leaders of his day and their representatives. They come to interrogate him. And at the end of the day, you are asking him questions. And you get, among you stands one whom you do not know. These men are looking for the Messiah, and John's pointing to him. And they don't recognize it. And we will see, of course, as time pans out, that they will either not recognize him or they will just out and out ignore the fact that he's the Messiah because it doesn't fit with their schema. We do, in the mission of John the Baptist, in our day, point people boldly, as John did, to Jesus Christ. And we do not shy away from talking about his coming as judgment. And that includes not shying away from telling them that they need to stop sinning. Oh, that might offend someone. Good. Good if you're offended in your sin and it changes you because you're afraid of going to hell. But it's not a matter of, trying to foster a fear of hell in them. It's to foster a love of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. That's the message. You know, scare people into heaven, although that can help start things, that we open our eyes to loving our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we are a lamp in this world. Just like John was not the light, but was sent there to bear witness to the light, he reflected the light of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to do the same thing. And it's interesting when our Lord gives us those marching orders. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Not listen to what you say, see your good works. Because if they hear you say things and they don't see any good works, it's a lie. It's not true. That's when people call you a hypocrite, is when you don't live in conformity with what you say you believe. And this is why we have the details of John the Baptist's life that we do. I mean, his preaching, man, I wish that 10% of Catholic priests on the face of the planet would have the spirit of John the Baptist to look at people and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn away from your sinful ways and face Jesus Christ. Not stand up here and talk about immigration and bishops' appeals. And to tell people that the judge is coming and that they need to be ready for that. John, he confronted the king and he knew, and the consequence was real, that the king could kill him at the drop of a hat. And he looked at the king and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, a divorced woman. You adulterer. That's boldness. That's boldness. I wish 10% of Catholic priests would have an example. I almost got a chuckle out of the prayer that is said today. The praying that the stewards of God's mysteries would set straight the paths. And I read that and I thought to myself, kind of interesting, is some of the things I read every day from around. You know, it's that they may be stewards of God's mysteries and point people and straighten their paths if they have reservations, because we only can let a certain amount of people come in and hear things, you know, because, you know, you might get sick. We're worried about your health. John doesn't say one thing about worrying about anybody's health, about worrying about offending them or anything. You know, that's the bishops are making those decisions. How dare you criticize them? Well, you know, the spirit of John the Baptist. Like when the Pharisees showed up to him, he said, you brood of vipers. I generally try not to call them names. Okay. You know, maybe I'm not as good as John the Baptist. As he did, you brood of vipers. Who told you about the judgment to come? Even if it's an authority figure, if they're not doing something that's conformity with our Lord's gospel and not doing what they're supposed to do in accord with that gospel, there's a problem and it needs to be pointed out. It needs to be pointed out to God's people. There is a problem going on now. We need to understand that. Are we being lights in this world? At the end of the day, no, we're not. Because we're supposed to be ready in season and out of season to give an account for the hope that is within us. There's no caveat. You know, make straight their paths, unless they could get sick, then shut the churches down. Okay. No. It's not the way it's supposed to work. All right. It doesn't matter what the situation may be. Because when that happens, the works are not commensurate with what you say you believe. You talk about this God who protects you from this, or God, and if you do get sick, you go to heaven. But then you shut your churches down when you might get sick and go there. That is hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Nothing short thereof. It's duplicity. I say one thing, I do another. Because, oh no, this is real. Yeah, you can really get the virus. Yeah, you can really go to hell too. And you know what? That's a whole lot worse. Because 98% of people get over the virus. Nobody gets over hell. This is the job of the church. This is what we need to understand. This is our job. This is why you need to confront your family members who are errant and your friends who are errant and outside of the church, because you need to be and present the spirit of John the Baptist by both preaching and example. We still talk a good show, but we're not being a real good example. Okay, we need to start being a good example. It's not a matter of beating ourselves up over that. It's a matter of changing that. To change it. To start being a good example. To start telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because that was John's words and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are now called to be exactly like John the Baptist. But as I said before, unlike John the Baptist, we just don't have the mission of going, there he is. It is our mission to go, there he is. But also to tell people that he's going to come again. And that they are going to be judged by the way they relate to him when he comes back. Or when they are called to him. And this is what we have to understand about our faith. It's got to be real. It's got to be both preached and exemplified. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.